What's the deal with this?
Deal? What are you saying?
Deal.
Deal?
I don't see what the big deal is, you know? It's not that great.
Good deal. You won't regret it.
What's the deal, son? What do you have going?
All right, look, here's the deal.
What do you say we make this deal?
The property industry, covering people and businesses that invest in, build, purchase, or rent and maintain property, is hugely fragmented when it comes to both data sources and the companies that work within it. Today on the show, I'm speaking with Richard Sarkis, co-founder and CEO at Reonomy. Reonomy leverages big data, partnerships, and machine learning to connect a fragmented, disparate world of commercial real estate. I'm your host, Ryan Cox, managing partner at Founders Growth Capital, a multifamily value-add investment firm. The Real Estate Innovators is a podcast that explores innovation in commercial real estate. Celebrate the companies and innovators who are changing the business of commercial real estate and are inspiring the future of how we work, live, and play. I asked Rich about his background and what in his background helped him to identify the problem he set out to solve with Reonomy.
So you can't tell from my accent. My wife reminds me that I don't look or sound like James Bond, but I grew up in England, so I have that in common with him. But I came to the U.S. in college many moons ago, and that's where I sort of caught the entrepreneurial bug and started my first business while I was in college. The sexy way of talking about that business is it was an international arbitrage business. What I had found out is that you could buy the same textbooks that were available here for a fraction of the cost overseas. So I set up a whole business around that. It was very successful. In fact, a little too successful, so much so that the large publishers got together and said, hey, we don't like what you guys are doing to our little price discrimination arbitrage model. So that was unfortunately relatively short-lived, even though we were fighting the good fight. And then I sort of, in a moment of weakness, decided, you know what, maybe I should go to business school and learn some business acumen, because I had a liberal arts education, which was great, but you know, a business one it is not. Thinking I'd maybe stay a year, not the full 2 years, meet another entrepreneur or two and start a new business. But back in 05, which is when I went to B school down at Wharton, nobody was really that interested in being an entrepreneur. So I ended up in management consulting at McKinsey, pure option-based reasoning, thinking again, good place to park for a year or two, learn some really good skill sets on the quantitative side, soft skills as well, and then would go off and build another company. Lo and behold, 4 years later, I was still there, had just been promoted to a junior partner. And that's when I really had my come to Jesus moment, knowing that, hey, I got to go back to building a company. That's really what I'm passionate about. I don't want to be a lifelong consultant or a partner at that firm. And so I quit, not knowing what I was going to do, but to your question, knowing that I wanted to build a company again. And that's how I got introduced to my co-founder, Charlie. And that's how we basically decided to start Reonomy. So it's not something that I had thought about. I'd probably spent a sum total of 0 seconds thinking about commercial real estate. But when him and I got together and I got to learn about his story, and his story was really one around selling individual building by building reports to large banks and understanding more about the pain points in the industry, I'm like, there's a big there. And so I got excited about building Reonomy with him almost 8 years ago now.
Tackling such a large problem, I asked Rich how he and his co-founder simplified the business problem to get started.
Yeah, which it's a double-edged sword, because you want to be focused on the one hand, and on the other hand, you also don't want to boil the ocean, right? Even though you're in the face of this much opportunity. So what we did is we sort of boiled it down to what are our fundamental beliefs or our core tenets, and that was massive asset class, huge value at stake, rife with pain points and inefficiencies, and yet there hasn't been much, if any, technological innovation. So in order to capture the value, we knew that we had to innovate using technology at our core, both on the back end in terms of how we would collect and cleanse and normalize the data, but also on the front end to deliver an industry-leading modern SaaS application that's simple, elegant, and intuitive to use. And so the way we reconciled all that, it said, okay, well, let's look at what other industries have done, and let's not look too far outside of commercial real estate. Let's look at our cousins in the residential side, and let's look at what Zillow's been able to do, right? You and I would use Zillow to find our dream home or research Austin versus Dallas. Do I want to live there? What do the markets look like? Market trends, et cetera. But what if I, broadly defined, wanted to find out that same level of insight and information on anything that's not a single family home? We'd be broad in our definition. It literally would be 1 minus N, right? Anything that's not a single family home, duplex, triplex, multifamily, warehouse, office, et cetera. And focus with that. And let's also be geographically focused on New York. So could we build that commercial version of Zillow in New York? And so that's how we decided to say, let's focus on that first back in 2013 and prove that out. And then, you know, frankly, we didn't know where it was going to go, but we knew that that was a good place to start.
I asked Rich about the number one problem he set out to solve for commercial real estate professionals.
One of the things that I think was a secret weapon that I had was that I was not a commercial real estate guy. I did not have the baggage of like, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Because look, looking at it on the outside in, you're like, people have been making money hand over fist in commercial real estate for a long, long time. They don't need me to come in and say, hey, by the way, what you're doing is all wrong. Do this differently. Trust me, it's better. They'll look at me like I have two heads. They're like, hey, guy, like we're doing just fine here. You know, why don't you go sell your tech somewhere else, right? So I wanted to listen and really get to know, to your point, what are the pain points? And maybe said slightly differently, what are the big motivating factors? Like what really moved the needle to them? And what I found out is that maybe more than any other subsection of humanity, folks in commercial real estate are unbelievably motivated by making more money faster. And if I could prove to them that my New York City web application would allow them being investment sales brokers, loan originators at the banks, investor developers, to make more money faster, then they would be very interested in paying me a dollar to make $10, right? And so that's really what we focused on. And we said, let's focus at the top of the transactional funnel. Let's really focus on helping them find opportunities to transact on the debt or equity side. And if we could convince them that by using Reonomy's web application, they could do that, we would have a very strong there. So that's really how we sort of crystallized what the pain point or the need was, A, by talking to them, B, by listening, and C, by really anchoring around this one core use case, which is finding opportunities and essentially boiling down to making more money faster.
Helping real estate professionals make money faster. I asked Rich about the technology that they started with that enabled Reonomy's clients to accelerate profits.
As I was mentioning earlier, I think for us, the core tenant was on the back end. We knew the data was out there. And actually, Mayor Bloomberg had done a really good job in the years preceding the founding of the company, digitizing and putting all the building information out there in the public domain, information about the physical characteristics of a building, right? How big they are, where they are, the square footage, the zoning, et cetera. Information about the transactional information. So when the building last sold, to whom, for how much, related parties, how many other buildings were part of the sale, the debt, et cetera. And so we collected all that programmatically. We had a bunch of scripts, APIs, algorithms, scrapers that collected the filings, the violations, the permits, the deed documents, parsed them all out. And that was our core differentiation on the back end. So we had this treasure trove of nice, relational, timely data. But that's not enough, because if that all you do is like drown the customer in all this sea of data, and they're like, all right, but I thought you were going to tell me how to make more money faster. All you did is just dump a whole bunch of data on me. So what we did is we layered on that SaaS application on the front end that allowed them to filter and find that needle in the haystack, right? And as an example, if I'm a developer and I wanted to find three contiguous lots that were currently warehouses, like pretty dilapidated warehouses that I could get for pennies on the dollar, but it just so happened they were zoned in such a way that I could tear them down and build a luxury residential condo, and they were owned by mom and pops who hadn't sold in the last 20 years, so I thought I could get a good deal. That type of analysis and search would take me weeks to do if I could find one or two of those. I'd have to call a broker, and he or she would have to canvas and literally walk around and find all that. This you could just do on your desktop with a bunch of filters. Again, going back to the whole Zillow thing, where I can give my parameters of what my dream home looks like. And so that's really how the technology on both the front end and the back end enabled our end users to conduct those searches, to whittle it down from, hey, here's 300,000 commercial assets that I could possibly be interested in at any given time in New York City across the five boroughs, to the handful that are relevant to me today and how I can get the information I need on those to, again, transact on the debt or equity side.
I asked Rich about Reonomy's group of beta users and the beginning of onboarding new clients.
So it took us about a year to build that beta version, right? Because it was a pretty heavyweight lift on the back end, and we had to have a front end application that actually delivered it, as I was saying. And so we then said, okay, well, let's give this away for free to get a bunch of feedback and allow us to iterate on the product. And the three main groups we centered on are the lenders. So we gave it away for free to the loan originators at JP Morgan and said, use it, try to find loans that are in the refinance window, try to get in touch with the owners and see if it's working. Tell us what works, what doesn't, good, bad, and ugly. Don't be afraid to sort of hurt our feelings. We want to hear it all. Then we approached the brokerage firms, Cushman Wakefield, CBRE, JLL, and specifically they're the folks in their capital markets. These are the guys and girls who basically help sell the buildings, help place the debt on the buildings, et cetera. They're sort of in between the transaction. Same thing, got a bunch of feedback, et cetera. And then we approached the folks on the equity side. So analysts at Tishman Spire use this, kick the tires, tell me what works, what doesn't work, and really allowed us to iterate before we took any single penny from any one of those people. And it wasn't about till 6 months after that that we said, okay, now it's ready. We've iterated on it. And frankly, a lot of the iteration was paring down the feature set. A lot of the stuff that we thought was going to be really cool and sort of groundbreaking, they looked at it like, what the hell is this? This is just confusing. This looks like a bunch of Fruit Loops. I remember this vividly. This one guy telling me, like, this chart, you think it's cool? All I see are Fruit Loops. It does nothing for me. I'm like, okay, well, tell me how you really feel. And so once we had iterated on it and pared it down, then we felt, and more importantly, our customers felt that they're willing to pay for it. And that's when the quote unquote dog started eating the dog food.
I asked Rich about some of the legacy systems and tools that Reonomy's business has challenged.
A lot of it is just old-fashioned human grunt work, frankly. Like, how do I sift through? How do I find the data? How do I sift through it? How do I pull it down? How do I basically do the detective and legwork, both digitally, online, but also just walking the block? I'll give you a concrete example. At one mid-market brokerage firm here in New York, they were sort of legendary by breaking down the five boroughs to block by block elements so that their brokers were the best at knowing everything they knew about this, you know, 6x6 grid of a block. And they did that throughout the entirety of New York City. And they were hyper-local in their knowledge. And part of their onboarding process was when you joined as a young buck out of college, your onboarding was like, okay, here's your 6x6 grid. Go find out who owns every building in that grid when it last transacted. And literally the way they did it is they walked the pavement, they literally door by door knocking, finding out information, talking. And the record, I remember hearing this, the record had been it took a young guy 34 days to do. And that was like, wow, how the hell did he do it? Because the next best was almost twice as long as that. And then what I did, so on our first demo, I had that same group and I said, well, okay, let's pull up the map. Can you tell me what your grid was? And he's like, yeah, you know, south of 23rd Street, north of 15th Street, et cetera. And then between 6th Avenue and Park. And so I drew a thing on the map, on the interactive map. And I said, okay, well, this is what you can do. And now you can, with a click, download information on every building there, including who owns it, when it last transacted. And I said, look, it didn't take me 34 days. It took me about 34 seconds to do it. And that was like mind blown. So it was a lot of like, quote unquote, disrupting this, the analog version of the digital stuff that we were doing, if that makes sense.
Commercial real estate's opaque and proprietary data has been a tremendous advantage for professionals in the past. As Reonomy built a platform that gives insights into a wide range of data, I asked Rich about their approach in the beginning to start to gather the data to evolve to one-click, two-click filter world.
Yeah, look, there's an element of democratizing the data that we're doing, right? Because to your point, I think CRE, commercial real estate, is a space where historically it's been asymmetric information advantage. Like, I know something that the guy across the street doesn't know at the right time, and I can trade on that information. And so here we come along and saying, well, we are collecting all the data that's out there. Historically, it's been there. It's just been really tough to get. It's been dirty, non-relational. And even if you got it, you're like, what the hell am I going to do with all these records? How do I find that needle in the haystack, for what I was saying earlier? And so for us, it was really about a two or three step process. First step is get the data. And initially, I thought that that was actually going to be the competitive advantage, and we'd have this data moat. We'd have this treasure trove of data that no one else had. But then as I started collecting it and also seeing how prevalently available the data was, it was just messy and dirty. I figured, like, it's actually not getting the data that's the competitive advantage. It's what do you do with the data, right? So we started going very deep in differentiating in terms of the algorithms, machine learning algorithms that we developed to basically make the data relational and go from data to insights and information. That really was our core competitive advantage. And I'll give you an example. It was relatively easy to be able to say, for any building, I'll tell you who the reported owning entity is, because I can pull the deed, I can pull the tax filings, and I can tell you it's 123 Main Street LLC. But to then tell you that that's actually ultimately rolls up to Blackstone, and here are all the other entities that are related, that's the inside information that you want, but you need the data science to be able to pull all that together. So that really is where we doubled and tripled down in the early days versus just presenting the data as our sort of competitive advantage.
Is collecting and organizing data enough? Many are predicting in the next 5 to 7 years that the data will probably be more of a commodity, and it will be about the insights that organizations are able to provide.
That's exactly right. The way I view it is, I think the data is increasingly becoming a table stakes. Like, you have to have it. Back in the day, you're right. You could, the way you traded on it is like, I have the data and you don't have the data. Now, increasingly, data is just becoming more prevalent, accessible, and you just have it. And it's, what do you do with the data? How do you analyze the data? And ultimately, that leads to predictive analytics, right? And the analogy I give is, when we first started, it was all about the value prop. Like, okay, well, how do I see more clearly in front of me? How do I find, like, sift through all this data? Now that we've made a lot of progress within the industry to do that, it's really shifted to, okay, well, I want to not just see clearly in front of me. I want to see around corners. I want to see things that are going to happen before they happen as leading indicators and patterns and all that stuff. And that's when you get into the cool stuff around predictive analytics and all that. So we're starting to see that happen.
I asked Rich about Reonomy's offering and to highlight some of the feature sets of those products.
Sure. So that first product that I talked about in New York, we've since expanded it. And again, you can think about it as a web-based application, a mass market product, the inverse of Zillow, right? Where you go to find information on any non-single family home asset. That is now a national platform used by over 100,000 users coast to coast. And those users are not just a core CRE folks that you'd expect, the brokers, the lenders, the developers that I talked about, but you also have a whole bunch of hobbyist investors. So these are dentists, lawyers, doctors who dabble in commercial real estate or are curious about owning a laundromat or a duplex or a triplex, because, like, that's what you do, right? It's also resi-mercial brokers who, because it's the same brokerage license, are interested in finding information about non-single family homes. But it's also a slew of service providers like roofers, HVAC installers, solar panel installers, cable companies, insurance brokers who care about those assets and use Reonomy's web-based platform for that. So that's really the use case of that product, really geared towards the individual users. We have another product that's geared to the professionals. So these are the people whose professional lives are centered around commercial real estate as the asset class. So these are your professional teams of investment sales brokers, of loan originators, of analysts who use Reonomy. That product basically builds on the individual's one and adds a whole bunch of workflow functionality and features, CRM integrations, etc., to make it a bit more of a heavyweight, robust solution that does what they need. And then on the complete other end of the spectrum, you've got the enterprise-grade solutions that we have. That's a combination of data. So data as a service, if you will. So data being licensed from us in bulk from these large companies, and they take that data and build applications around that data as part of that product offering. But we also have software as a service, SaaS applications that allow them to configure that mass market product and make it more of their own and even white label it. So if I'm a large private equity group, for instance, and I want to see not just Reonomy's data on Reonomy's UI, I want to see Reonomy's data, my data, other third-party data like crime data, mobile location data, traffic data, so that I can find the next Nashville or Austin before it becomes too late, I can now use that product to do that. So it is a pretty wide-ranging set of use cases, but at our core, we really are unlocking this world of what we call property intelligence for the users, whether they're small, medium, or large.
With the proliferation of point solutions in the market, I asked Rich how Reonomy thinks about interoperability and the opportunity for platforms to emerge in commercial real estate.
Yeah, so if you think about it, we've actually proliferated a lot of applications on top of our own platform, right? The New York model initially, nationwide, data APIs, flat files. We have an enterprise one. We're building and launching a few more applications next year. And really what you're talking about is we have built a platform, and it is all sitting on top of a common data ontology, data structure centered around what we not very creatively call the Reonomy ID, a unique identifier for every commercial asset. We're building that same notion out for every company and people in a person in the US as well, a unique identifier. And that really is the ontology, the language for the commercial real estate asset class. And so that platform now is starting to be opened up to our users, and they are starting to build their own applications. So we have large firms, brokerage firms, lenders, investor developers, insurance companies who are building their own applications on top of our own, on top of the Reonomy platform. So we feel like that was not the original vision that Charlie, my co-founder, and I had. Again, we wanted to build the web-based application. But by scaling our platform from New York to nationwide, we had to face all these data challenges and these data ills and normalize all this data across 3,000 counties, 20,000 municipalities. And in so doing, we basically normalized that data together. And so that gave us the Reonomy ID notion that really underpins this platform play.
I asked Rich about the opportunity for platform growth and for others to develop on top of the Reonomy platform.
So right now, for now, these products and applications that they're developing are only used for their own internal purposes, right? So they are solving their problems. But we have been approached and are on the cusp of basically thinking about, well, what if they develop applications that others might want to license, right? Same way on my iPhone, there's the App Store, right? There's Salesforce has their App Exchange, et cetera. So we are now giving serious thought together with our investors. One of our large investors is the German company SAP, their venture arm. Obviously, they understand a thing or two about how to build a platform, et cetera, right? And so that's been a lot, a long part of our thesis now and the evolution of where we're moving towards within that truly open platform, which, you know, you can almost think of us as a Salesforce type solution, not in terms of a CRM, but in terms of a platform for the world of property intelligence and property records.
I asked Rich to define and assess the competitive landscape for Reonomy.
So by being a platform, you know, your competitive set ends up being fairly wide when you think about the applications you've built, right? Because each one of those applications, in a sense, is, to your point, taking on a point solution, right? But when you think about the platform itself, the pipes, right? No one has really built or established the pipes for the industry. So we feel that if you zoom out and think, okay, well, what is Reonomy as a platform and what's the competitive set to that? That's fairly limited, to be honest. And typically what we find at these companies, it's build versus buy. How do we as a company think about how we want to normalize and build a sort of a unified platform within the four walls of a brokerage firm or a lender or whatnot? And that's usually pretty easy sell because we can do it better, cheaper, faster than they can by licensing the software. But when it comes to each one of those applications, look, on that initial web app, there are a bunch of niche, localized players in New York, one in LA, et cetera, that do that. None of them do it quite as well because of the technology we have. And there's a lot of value in being able to light up the entire country as part of our web app as well. But it's not one where, you know, we feel overly burdened by the competitive set. Now, I will say that with a lot of the money that has flown in there, there's almost like a hysteria and a frothiness about it. And I say that it's a noisy space, increasingly so, but not a very sort of meaningfully noisy one because there aren't many companies that have reached a certain maturation point yet.
I asked Rich to take us on a journey from the launch with those first beta customers, give us some of the highlights along the way and where Reonomy is today.
For us, we started in New York. We gained a lot of traction here in New York. And what we heard loud and clear from all of our large clients was, this is great. You have built a better mousetrap, but this is just in New York and we need it to be everywhere. And let's start with everywhere in the US first that we do business. So it took us a number of years to build the technology, the infrastructure, the machine learning system to be able to cleanse and normalize all of that data nationwide across all those counties and municipalities and public and private sources. But we did that and launched that 3 years ago. And that's where we've seen tremendous traction there with, as I said, you know, 100,000 plus users using and signed up for that platform. And that's seen tremendous traction. And about a year and a half, 2 years ago, that's when we discovered, again, because our clients told us that the same core technology that we had developed for our own internal purposes to normalize the data that's out there and deliver it to those individual users was massively valuable to the enterprise as a product in and of itself. And so that about two or so years ago is that what we productized. And now we have well over 100 companies. These are large Fortune 50, Fortune 100 companies who use and license our data and our technology on the back end to solve their most pressing problems as they relate to properties. These are big retailers that you've heard about, occupiers, tech companies that care about commercial real estate because they're either want to figure out their location strategy, and when they open their next store, they want to be within a mile of a Whole Foods, Joe and the Juice, and SoulCycle. And how do I find out what that perfect Venn diagram is? I've got the data, but how do I analyze it? And our solution allows them to do that.
I asked Rich to shed some light on Reonomy's technology journey and comment on the roadmap for the future.
When we first launched in New York, you sort of, you know, there's the old adage, you got to fake it till you make it. And so we did not really leverage data science or machine learning that much. It really was very rules-based. So a set of rules that we said, okay, well, if the data is structured or filed in a certain sequence, this is what it means, and this is how you stitch it together. But when we sort of cast our gaze nationwide, we had to turn to ML and AI because there's no other way. There's too many permutations and you couldn't just brute force it. So that really was the seminal moment where we had to invest heavily into building our own entity resolution classifiers on the back end, our graph clustering algorithms, all of them ML driven. And that really is the centerpiece of our IP as a company. And so as we see, we just closed a Series D round of funding, and that's really where we're going to be doubling and tripling down. And as I mentioned earlier, we think the next frontier, again, leveraging machine learning and AI, is around predictive analytics. And how do I actually, as a user, have the system tell me where I should focus and not focus before it becomes obvious to me? And that really is like bread and butter of predictive analytics that are driven by ML. So that's really where we're headed, you know, to answer your question in terms of a tech focus perspective in the foreseeable future.
I asked Rich what success looks like for Reonomy over the next 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, so I think, as I mentioned, there's taking what we do and continuing to invest in that to continue to listen and delight our customers, number one. Number two is developing new features that they don't have access to. And I mentioned predictive analytics, market insights, which is aggregations of data at a market level. And then the last but not least is taking our successful now US model and expanding it overseas, Canada, UK, the rest of Europe, Australia, et cetera. Many, if not all, of our large enterprise clients are global companies. They have already onboarded their sort of portfolios and leverage us heavily in the U.S. They are now asking us to do the same thing outside of these, you know, these borders.
I asked Rich about the possibilities of predictive analytics.
So again, similar to how we started the company, we want to start focused and we want to start with what we've heard. And what we've heard from our clients is, we would love it if the system could tell us where to focus our time and effort and energy, because yeah, we've got a lot of data, but actually knowing what's going to happen before it happens. And now the big buzzword is like, okay, well, recession, correction, and like what's going to happen when the economic winds turn? And how do I find distressed assets before they become distressed so that I can trade on that? How do I find markets that are going to do well, less well? How do I find lenders that are going to be, you know, under duress? And so that really is where we're focusing our resources from a predictive analytics stuff, is like, basically, how do you predict what's going to happen so that then you can sort of show the people to the water and say, okay, well, here's what you should focus on, here's what you should not focus on, versus you having to doing the filtering yourself, which will whittle down the thing, right? So going back to what I said at the onset, if you've got 300,000 commercial assets in New York, the first sort of step change was, okay, now we're going to allow you to filter that down yourself, but you still got to put down the parameters yourself to decide how do you whittle it down to the 50 that are relevant. Predictive analytics is you press a button and it's going to tell you what the 50 that are most relevant to you, because it knows about you and it knows about the data that's out there.
How far into the future do you think that predictive analytics would be able to help somebody see?
We don't fully know yet, because we're just scratching the surface. The analogy I gave is, you want to see around the corner. Do I want to see 1 mile down the road, 10 miles down the road, etc.? I don't know. I think the notion is the bar is probably enough to clear. It's like, I need to just see somewhat into the future before it becomes obvious, right? That's sort of almost the high level way of thinking. You want a leading indicator to be that, a leading indicator. Once it gets to be too close to being a predictive indicator, then like everybody knows about it, and like it stopped being predictive and it just is, right? So I know that's a bit of amorphous answer, but I think that's part of the art and science around the data science of this.
I asked Rich about the big opportunity for Reonomy over the next 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, look, when I think about the art of the possible, and I've already talked a little bit about it, it is going to take us time to scale globally, right? These markets, just there's a cost of doing business, there's our operational cost, et cetera. That's not going to be an overnight light switch. You flip it and we're going to dial up all those countries. So it's definitely possible given the way we've architected our technology, but that's something that's going to really require our focus for the next several years. And likewise, and we just talked about the predictive analytics. I always think you should crawl before you walk, before you run. If you try to fast forward to the Jetsons future and say, okay, well, now the system, I just press a button, I go drink my coffee, and there I've made money. That's not going to happen anytime soon. But I think we're inching our way towards that down the line. And then the last thing I'd say, going back to the whole platform notion, if we do our job and we can really build this unified data model that all the big banks are using, brokerage firms, investor developers, insurance companies, tech companies, et cetera, then you've created this common ontology that really you can open up to the world and others can build applications, right? We're not going to sit here and say we're going to build the best automated valuation model. We're going to do our best to build, you know, the best applications, but maybe this other company will, and it'll be available on the Reonomy App Exchange or the Reonomy platform. And that's also part of the vision, but that definitely takes time to build that critical mass of developers on that platform.
Is there anything that we haven't discussed that you think is important for the listening audience to know?
We've done a great job covering most of it. I think I touched on it. I think it's been a blessing and a curse, the money that's flown into the industry. Obviously, we just raised a Series D, as you said, so I've benefited from a lot of that money. But on the flip side, and I was just, you know, on a panel yesterday, if I'm on the receiving end of the 7,000 plus prop tech companies that are out there, it's like, that's a lot of noise. That's a lot of thud factor that I need to decipher and figure out like what's going to be there. So, you know, my hope is that that does not sort of slow down the pace of adoption, and it's not like analysis paralysis to say, oh wow, like I don't know what to pick here, like I want to make sure I back the winning horse and all that stuff, versus like let progress be, you know, perfect be the enemy of progress, so to speak. So you know, that's probably one thing that's also front and center of our mind, and something that we try to spend a lot of time and effort and energy simplifying things and being very clear on what our value proposition is to the industry as well.
And last question for Rich. If you're going to take a year off to work on something that you found really interesting, but not very important, what would you take that year to do?
Wow, that is a good question. To be honest, if I took a year off, I would probably spend it with my family. I love cars, so like fixing a couple old cars and just being more present. You know, I've been doing this now, you know, pedal to the metal for almost 8 years, and I don't think it would go down well with my wife and kids to say, hey, I got a year off and I'm going to go do another company right off the bat. So, you know, that's probably what I would do if I had the luxury of taking a year off or even, you know, 3 months off, so to speak.
Great to connect with Rich Sarkis of Reonomy today. Reonomy is bringing together the titans of data and leaders in commercial real estate by analyzing millions of records to provide the most robust records for every commercial property and owner. Artificial intelligence is their key to linking commercial real estate data. Reonomy uses advanced machine learning algorithms to analyze records and map them to the Reonomy ID, a universal identifier for every commercial asset in the United States. And that concludes our show. I'm excited to follow Rich and Reonomy's pursuit to empower real estate professionals to unlock insights and discover new opportunities. You can find out more about Rich and Reonomy in the show notes. Please subscribe to The Real Estate Innovators and write a review wherever you subscribe to podcasts, which helps us grow our audience. Find out more about The Real Estate Innovators at therealestateinnovators.com. Until next time, innovators.